All right, Rabbi Say, good morning. Good morning, a good tavach. Baruch Hashem, an incredible schos to be able to begin another week of learning with everyone. Begin by thanking our sponsors for this morning's shiur. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Nisan, Sa'id and Simahakin, for dedicating all the shurim and drashos this month to express their hakaras hatov to Hashem for all of His nisim and niflaos. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeem all of the hostages and bring complete hatzlacha to Eretz Yisrael and to Am Yisrael. Our week of learning sponsors, Paul and Kathy Pollack, in memory of Paul's father, Shmuel ben Zachariah, and great-grandmother, Cyril Bas Dov, whose yard sites are both on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And of course, I will say, we dedicate our learning the Ilui Nishmas Binyamin Achimeir, who was the young boy, the 14-year-old boy who was murdered on Erev Shabbos. Overwhelming circumstances. And at the same time, it behooves us to express our profound hakar satov to the Ribono Shel Olam. I would say, when you look at the unprecedented attack by Iran, 99% of the projectiles launched were shot down. It's a nes nigla. It's no less than Hanukkah, and it's no less than Purim, and it's no less than Kriyas Yamsuf. Really, if you just think about the enormity of what could have been, and the enormity of what the intentions were, 99% of hundreds of missiles, drones, downed. Obviously, Baruch Hashem, we have incredible hakaras hatov to the IDF, to our precious soldiers, to our precious pilots. But of course, we know nothing happens in this world without hashgachas Hashem. And the Ribono Shel Olam once again showed His incredible hashgach, His incredible providence, and His incredible just love for Am Yisrael, for Klal Yisrael, for Eretz Yisrael, and absolutely overwhelming to see a nes nigla like this in Chodesh Nisan. Halalai, we should be zocheh mi'artz Hashem, that we should continue to feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's safety and security. We should continue to experience His hashgacha, and in mi'artz Hashem, we should be zocheh to not only see defensive nisim v'niflaos, we should be zocheh mi'artz Hashem to see offensive nisim v'niflaos as well, as our people, as our country fights enemies on all fronts. We should be zocheh mi'artz Hashem to Yeshua's Hashem keheref ayin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring home all of our hostages. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give all of our soldiers incredible siyata d'shmaya. And we should be zocheh mi'artz Hashem to the geula shlema v'asida b'mhira b'yameinu. Amen. And also with that, let us begin. We have a lot to do today. A really, really incredible daf. I want to also reset a little bit. I'm hearing some groaning about Perek HaZov, right? Okay, I want to put this out there. I'm hearing a little kvetching, a little groaning, a little... So again, I have two things to say, right? Number one, man up. Right? Number one, man up. Okay, come on, stop it, right? You're going to be just fine. We have every single tool at our disposal, right? We have a shear, we have art scroll, we have this, we have that. So come on, stop it. Remember, once upon a time, people learned these sugyas without any of the supplemental aids that we have. So that's Aleph. Number two, I will say, Torah is sweet. Torah is beautiful. And the harder it is, the greater the sweetness is when you chop it. And if you work hard enough, there is no piece of Torah that you cannot make your own. If you're willing to put in the effort, again, if I just want to sit back, relax, and enjoy the show and have it come to me, so it's possible that there are things you're not going to get. But I will say, if together, because we're in this together, if together we kind of bend our shoulder, open our hearts, and open our minds, and Emir Hashem, there is nothing we cannot conquer. And remember, I guess number three, Lefum Tzara Agra. Again, literally, the greater the difficulty, the more the reward. The easier the Gemara, the less the schar. The harder the Gemara, ultimately, again, the greater the reward. So let's bend our shoulder, open our hearts, open our minds, and Emir Hashem, conquer together another daf of Hazov. So today's daf is Membav 46. We are picking up Emir Hashem on Memhem Beis, and we are picking up five lines up from the bottom, Amarav Papa. So just to reorient ourselves a little bit, in yesterday's daf, and Rabbi Richter did a beautiful job in yesterday's daf. So in yesterday's daf, we were learning about the concept of whether or not a matbeya, a coin, could be used as the vehicle for chalipin. So remember again, Rabbi Richter mentioned this in the shir, but this is incredible. This is in Yoni Dioma, because remember again, kinyan chalipin or kinyan sudar is the kinyan that is used in the course of mechiras chametz. right? Emirat Hashem. So again, you go, whoever, the truth is, this is universally done. This is why, by the way, I'll just point out, you know, as much as we have like an online option for Mechiras Chametz, one of the reasons why it is not preferable, I should say differently, let's be positive. One of the reasons why it is preferable to do Mechiras Chametz in person as opposed to online is because it works. Online, if you do it, it works. But you don't have the ability to avail yourself of the kinyanim, right? The physical kinyanim that are part of Mechiras Chametz, which bolster the sale. That's why, again, it's not, of course, I love to see everyone. That's fantastic, right? But Lamaisa, that's the reason why in person is preferable to online. Online, it works because it's the Shtar HaRasha, it's the power of attorney. But if you could go ahead and be face to face and do the kinyanim, so the kinyan that we do is a kinyan siddur. So what happens? You sit down, you bring your sheet, your power of attorney sheet, you go out and you sell me your chametz. Now, of course, now sell me your chametz, what are you doing? Appoint me as the agent to sell the chametz on your behalf. How do I have the right to sell your chametz on your behalf? So the power of attorney form is one way. The other piece is a kinyan siddur. I give you my pen, you pick up my pen. By picking up my pen, I'm acquiring the rights over your chametz or acquiring your chametz. It's a kinyan siddur. It's a kinyan chalip and a flip act of acquisition. You acquire something of mine, and in exchange, I acquire something of yours. So remember, again, I will say, so we started off this perek by hazov kona esakasef. So when you acquire merchandise, the other party acquires the money. So in yesterday's daf, we were focusing on, can a coin itself be the vehicle of kinyan siddur? So again, that piece is still a little bit open. Although again, it appears really that, well, we'll see. We'll see the Rambam Mir Hashem in tomorrow's daf. Let me bring all of this together. Today's daf is going to focus on a little bit of a variation of that question. So I'm Rav Papa. I feel the mandarma in my bein asa chalikim. So Rav Papa says like this. Even if you hold that in general, a coin can't be the vehicle of chalipas. Well, so just understand what that means. So imagine for a moment, you come today to sell your chametz, and instead of giving you a pen, I give you a gold coin. I say, here, pick this up, acquire this, and when you do this, I'll acquire your chametz, right? I'll be out of a gold coin. I'll be out of a gold coin very quickly, right? Yeah, like, I'll keep my chametz for the gold coin, right? So that's what it means. That's what it means, whether or not matbea nasa chalipin. I will say, so now, Republic is like this. Even according to the opinion that says that you can't use a coin to go as a vehicle to affect king and chalipin, listen to this. May avot hudala avot chalipin, aknuye mikne bechalipin. So Republic sounds like this. Even according to the opinion that says that a coin cannot be used as the actual vehicle for chalipin, but again, our papa says, but a coin could be acquired through chalipin. Okay, so our papa says, midi dehavi aperel Rav Nachman, because it should be no different than peros. Rav Nachman says that you could acquire peros, literally again, merchandise or actual fruit through a king in chalipin. So Rav says, so again, a coin should be no different. So Rav says, here now we're switching. Even if you hold that a coin cannot be the actual vehicle, can't be the pen, can't be the item that affects chalipin, but again, Rav Papa says you should be able to acquire coins through chalipin. So just to illustrate how that would work, right? You have coins, right? And I want to acquire your coins from you. So what happens? I give you my pen, you lift up my pen, and by lifting up my pen, I acquire your coins. That's what Rav Papa is suggesting. Even if you hold that a matbea can't be used as the vehicle, you should be able to use a kinyan chalipin to acquire coins. Why? Because it should be no less than produce, and Rav Nachman holds that you could acquire produce through chalipin. So we're going to see, by the way, I just want to tell you also, coming attractions tomorrow, pivotal daf. I mean, every daf is pivotal daf, but tomorrow, a lot of these things that are being brought up tangentially, Mem Zayin is going to be the place where all of it lands, and we're going to see a lot of things are going to click into place tomorrow in your session. So, again, so therefore, this is Rav Papa's suggestion. Rav Papa says, Rav Nachman holds that, for example, you can't use produce as a vehicle of chalipin, but you could acquire produce with kinyan chalipin. So too, even if you hold that a coin can't be used as the vehicle, can't be the pen, can't be used as the vehicle for Chalipin, so ultimately can, but yeah, a coin could also be acquired through Chalipin. Should be no different than produce. Okay, so we'll say, this is the position of Rav Papa. Good, that's it. So the Gemara says as follows. So Meisvei, the Gemara says, I'm going to ask Akash on this. Haya omid begoren ve'in biyada ma'os. So let's listen to this. I'm standing in my granary. And I don't have any money on me. So I'll say a little bit of context over here. I'm standing in my greenery with my Meister Sheni. And I will say, remember, Meister Sheni, as you spoke about in yesterday's daf, could be redeemed with money. Right? You transfer the Meister Sheni sanctity onto money and ultimately take that money to you, Shalayim, and use it for produce. Halavai, we should be so chemir tashem here, Rabbi Yameinu. So I'll say, so now what happens? There's an interesting little detail over here, which is if you go ahead and you redeem your own Meister Sheni, there's a surcharge. Take a look at Rashi. Four lines up from the bottom. In the Adamos, v'rotzel lechala Meister Sheni shelo v'hirim v'pidyon lechala ayidem mekach u'memkar shemochol ish acher kedei shelo yichayev chomesh. Dichsid in ga'oyigal ish mima'asro chamishi soyosef. So listen to this. So if you redeem your own Meister Sheni, there is a 1/5 surcharge. And here's what's interesting. If someone else redeems your Meister Sheni, there's no surcharge. Now, there's nothing wrong. In other words, I can redeem your Meister Sheni, you can redeem my Meister Sheni just by doing a favor. So I will say, so the case over here is, I'm standing in my granary, I don't have any money, but I would like to circumvent the 1/5 surcharge. So what do I do? They ain't be adamos. I don't have any money in my possession. But I will say, so what could I do? Omer lechavero, I say to my friend, by the way, Rashi points out over here, why does it say friend? You're going to Tsebosa because this type of setup only works with someone who you trust. Watch this. I say, Ruvain, I hereby convey this produce. This is Meister Sheni. Happy birthday. It's yours. The boss says, it's already Meister Sheni, right? I'm giving my Meister Sheni to Ruvain. Rashi says, Umechivan, Shekinar Zem Matana, Nasar Yishon Nochri Eslam. That will say, so watch what's happening over here. So now, I'm giving over the produce. See, the case is, I'm standing in my granary, I have my Meister Sheni. I don't have any money on me. Now, the reason it's saying I don't have any money on me, you'll see in just a moment. So what do? I say, Ruvain, here's the produce. Now, we'll say, now what am I going to do? What's next? What am I going to do next? I'm going to redeem the Meister Sheni, right? I'm going to redeem the Meister Sheni money, the Meister Sheni produce. And again, I'm going to use my money, but because it's not my Meister Sheni, I've circumvented the 1/5. Now, the reason it says I don't have money is because if I had money, then I could just as easily do what? Give the money to Ruvain, have Ruvain go ahead and redeem the Meister Sheni with the money, and it would have accomplished the same thing. But in this case, I have no money over here, so therefore, I go ahead and I give him the produce. Both say, tap of Memba, 46a. The Chozer Omer, and then I go ahead and I say, Harehen mechulalin al mo'os sheyishli babayis. Okay? And then I say, okay, this Meister Sheni should hereby become deconsecrated onto money that I have in my house. So now remember, I will say, who's Meister Sheni am I now redeeming? Who's am I redeeming? Ruvain's, my friends. And I say, Ruvain, I'm redeeming your Meister Sheni on money that I have in my house. Okay? So let's analyze this. So Taima de'in biyado mos. So we'll say, so the whole reason this is happening is because I don't have money with me. Ha im yesh biyado mos, likni luhu li'idach b'mashicha, uparech, dahachi adif, dahavi le'nachri. So we'll say, so now, what can I infer from this? This is what I mentioned before. If I had the money, the preferable mechanism for this would have been to what? Give Ruvain the money. Ruvain, mazel tov, here's a gift. And now with that money, Ruvain could go ahead and redeem my Meister Sheni. And because someone other than the owner, because we'll say, understand what's happening over here? There's an additional step, right? I'm going ahead, giving over my Meister Sheni to Ruvain, and now I'm using my money that is in a different location. I'm saying the Meister Sheni should be deconsecrated onto money that I have on my dining room table. The reason is because I don't have the money on me. The easier thing would have been, if I had money with me, I would have given it to Ruvain. Ruvain would have then used that money to deconsecrate the Meister Sheni and Shalom Yisrael, thereby avoiding the 5th. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says, V'i amrit ma'peh nas na'likna bechalipin. Now one second. Rav Papa, if you are right, that even if money can't be used as a vehicle to affect chalipin, but money could be acquired through chalipin, if that's the case, niknu le'in ma'os lehech agav sudar Velifrok. So Rabbi said, there's a much easier thing over here. Why don't I just do this? Reuven, listen, I don't have any money on me right now, but the money's on my dining room table. Let's just do a king and chalipin. Right? Reuven, give me your pen. I'll lift up your pen or your handkerchief. And when I lift up your pen and handkerchief, you'll acquire my money, right? That's sitting on my dining room table. And now you could deconsecrate the Maaser Sheni on the money that you now own. So much easier. In other words, it will say, the Gemara is making it sound over here that I don't have any money, that's why I have to transfer over the produce, I have to give the produce over to Reuven. But if money could be acquired through Chalipin, then just do a Kinyan Chalipin with Reuven. Reuven could acquire my money, and then Reuven could just deconsecrate the money on the Maaser Sheni. The fact that the Gemara does not go ahead and raise that as a possibility, but instead only raises the possibility of what? Of conveying over the produce to Reuven tells us that what? Tells us that what? Chalipin doesn't work for money. That's it. To which the Gemara says, no, the less lay sudr. No, the challenge over here is they would have done a king in Chalipin. What happens? Reuven doesn't have a handkerchief. All right. So the Gemara says, v'niknu neheli agav karka. So, okay, you don't know. Rabbi says, by the way, when it says I don't have a handkerchief, remember, as Rabbi says, tomorrow's daf, we're going to see Chalipin requires something. Whether or not it requires a kli, a utensil, so we're going to see. But the point the Gemara is making is over here, Reuven doesn't have anything on him. He doesn't have anything on him. So therefore, again, Rabbi says, if you don't have something, the kli, the pen, the something, you can't do a kinyan sudr. Okay. The Gemara says, v'niknino nehele agav karka. So why don't they just do this? Why don't they use a kinyan agav? Kinyan agav means that you could convey ownership of real property to someone, and you could acquire movable property by dint of the real property. So let me convey over to Reuven a little piece of real property, and by doing so, I could give him over the money as well. To which the Gemara says, "The less lay karka, I don't have any property. I don't have any karka." The Gemara says, "What? The omed begaron katani? That's begoron. Sorry, both said that's not the case, right? The case over here is where the Gemara says, "I'm standing in my granary. I'm standing in the granary." To which the Gemara says, "No. Begoron she'eno shalo. It's not my granary. It's not my granary. I rent space." The Gemara says, "Come on." You're both say, "You know what's interesting about Gemara? You know, so much of Gemara is like exaggerated cases that are there, that are contrived cases in order to make a point. Every once in a while, the Gemara kind of gets so frustrated with itself, right? That the cases are so like, the Gemara says, come on, the ichbel tana la'ashmo'inan gavra artiloi, the less leva lo klum. Is the Gemara coming to teach us about a guy who's naked? Literally, you know, we'll say, he doesn't have a kli, he doesn't have karka, what's going on over here, right? He doesn't have anything. Gemara says, really, such a case like this, that you can't do chalip and you can't do, there's no kinyan agav, it doesn't make any sense. Ela lav shmamina, ein matbeya nikim b'chalipin shmamina. Rather, we'll say, no, what you see over here is the Gemara is teaching me that it's only this case that works, meaning chalipin would not work for money. You cannot use a king in Chalipin to go ahead and transfer ownership of money. That's what the Gemara is coming to teach me. So Rabbi say, so therefore it turns out that even Rav Papa recanted his position. So Rabbi say, so once again, remember, just to follow on what's happening over here. Rav Papa came along and said like this, even if you hold that you can't use money, a coin, as the mechanism, right, as the vehicle to affect Chalipin, but Kinyan Chalipin should work for the transfer of ownership of money. Or you should be able to use Chalipin to transfer ownership of money. Now what the Gemara has essentially shown is that Chalipin can't be used to transfer money either. Chalipin can only be used for objects, or movable property, but cannot be used for money. Now the Gemara says, Af Rav Papa Hadirbe. The truth is, even Rav Papa recanted his original position. Watch this. Ki Ad Rav Papa, Havalu Tracer Alfei Dinari, Ki Bechozoi. So let's listen to this. Rav Papa apparently had deposited a large amount of money, literally, again, 12,000 gold pieces, 12,000 dinars in Bechozai. Bechozai is a place. Now, here's the problem. So Rav Papa asked Rav Shmuel to go, and I guess Rav Shmuel was anyway traveling to Bechozai. So he asked Rav Shmuel, can you bring me back my money? We'll say, what's the problem? The guys in Bechozai were not willing to give it to Rav Shmuel. Why not? Understandably so, they were scared if something happened to the money on the way back to Rav Papa, they, the depositors in Beit Hazai, the custodians in Beit Hazai, would have still been on the hook. So they didn't want to release it. So what did Rav Papa do? Akninu Rav Shmuel Bar Acha Agav Asefa Debeisei. So we'll say, so what did Rav Papa do? Rav Papa conveyed ownership of the money to Rav Shmuel. Obviously, this only works with someone who you trust. He conveyed ownership of the money through karka. So he gave, and literally again through the threshold of his house. So what he did is he gave over ownership to Rav Shmuel of a piece of land, and then they did a kinyan agav. Remember again, what is kinyan agav? Kinyan agav means when you acquire karka, you could acquire metaltalin on the back of the karka, agav the karka. I will say, now remember again, we saw this back in our, I don't even know where we saw this the first time. It might have been Baba Kama, but it might have been Ksuvas earlier on. I will say, the way kinyan agav works is, classic kinyan agav, I will say, you know, you think about it, is the metaltalin is piled on top of the karka. Kinyan agav even works if the metaltalin is not on the karka. So in other words, it's just a concept that when you're acquiring real property, you could acquire movable property on the back of the real property, even if the movable property is not anywhere near the real property. So therefore, again, what Rav Papa did is he conveyed ownership of a small piece of land to Rav Shmuel, and then again, conveyed ownership of the money to Rav Shmuel, agav the karka. So therefore, Rav Shmuel became the owner of the dinarim, and therefore the custodians in Beit Hazai were comfortable giving it to Rav Shmuel, because giving it to Rav Shmuel was giving it to the owner, and they were freed from any responsibility. Ki asa, when Rav Shmuel came back, Nafik la'apei atavach. So Papa was so excited that literally again he ran out to greet him a very far distance. Atavach. So obviously Rav Papa had profound gratitude to Rav Shmuel for this, right? Why? Because Rav Shmuel took on awesome responsibility, right? Taking responsibility for 12,000 gold coins, doing a favor for a friend, is a pretty big deal, and therefore he had tremendous hakaras hatov. V'chein amar Ula. So too Ula said, in ma'pei nasech alipin. Ula also agreed that Allah l'maisa, that you can't acquire money through a kinyan chalipin. Ravasi also said it. Okay, everybody's getting on the bandwagon over here. That Allah l'maisa, again, you can't acquire coin, you can't acquire money through a kinyan chalipin. Okay. So Rabbi Abba l'ula. So Rabbi Abba asked the question on Ula. Harisha hayu chamara v'pol l'vtov and osa b'shuk. So let's now listen to this. So let's say I'm in the marketplace, and my workers, literally again, my donkey drivers and my workers are going ahead and claiming. They said that I owe them money for wages. They're coming to me in the marketplace. I don't have any money on me. So I say, v'amar l'shulchani, tein li b'dinar ma'o. So that's fine, the same. So I say, so we're right by a money changer. Good news, money changer has available money. I say, l'shulchani, listen, do me a favor. Advance me some money so I can pay my workers. Okay, now I'll say, now watch this case. So I'm in the marketplace, right? Minding my own business. Workers come over to me. He didn't pay us. I say, you know what? You're right. I have to pay you. So there's a shulchan. I don't have any money on me. There's a shulchani. Shulchani over there. I say to the shulchani, do me a favor. I owe a dinar, right? A dinar's worth of wages. Advance me the money. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pay you back. Yafed dinar. So the amount of a dinar. Utrisis. And I will say, trisis is some additional amount, right? So I'll pay you back a dinar and trisis, right? From the money that I have in my house. I have money. Just not on me. So advance me the money. Now I'll pay you back a dinar and a trisis. The Gemara says, Im yeshlo ma'os mutter. If I really do have money at home, then this transaction is mutter. Ve'im lav aser. But if I don't have money at home, then the transaction is going to be aser. Okay, so we'll say, let's analyze this a little bit because this doesn't sound right. So the Gemara says, so he'll say, now one second. If you tell me that this is working through chalipin, then fine. So we'll say, remember again, what's chalipin? Chalipin means then Reuven will give me the dinar and we're doing an act that we're doing an exchange. We're doing exchange. See, he's acquiring the dinar. He's acquiring whatever money that I have in my house. Now, if it's chalipin, there's no ribis. There's no interest because it's chalipin. It's not a loan. I want to point out something. The concept of interest only applies by a loan. So therefore, again, if I'm doing a kinyan chalipin with money, then again, it's not interest, and it's fine. Even though I both say, it turns out that he's giving me a dinar, and I'm giving him back a dinar plus a tresis. But again, because it's chaliban, it's not a problem. So therefore, if you hold that as chaliban, then this transaction works. If this is a loan, then I both say, then what? It's ribis. It's interest. He's giving me a dinar, and I'm giving back a dinar and a tresis. What do you see from here? So I both say, the fact that this works, what does that show you? What does that show you? That chaliban works by money. Contradiction to Ula. So the Gemara says, Ishtek. So Ula was quiet. Amalei, maybe, he said, maybe, Dilma Idi V'Idi Beprutotos. And we'll say, by the way, it's interesting, because what do you see from here? And then again, we'll say, just so you understand, this is Rabbi Abba's asking to Ula. He brings up the case to Ula, right? And ultimately, again, Ula's response is silence, and then Amalei, and then Ula responds afterwards. So I'll say, just point out something interesting, that sometimes in life, you know, it's good to pause before you answer, right? A lot of times, again, whether we're confronted with something or we're asked something and we often feel like we have to respond immediately, there's absolutely nothing wrong with pausing. Just like there's absolutely nothing wrong with saying, I have to get back to you. There's nothing wrong with taking time to think before you respond. Say, Ishtik, Amarle, Dilma Idi V'Idi Beprutatos. Shanu Dileka Alea Tiva. So EDVED Peirahavi Umishum Haki Niknu Bechalibin. So, oh, interesting, I will say. So listen to this. So he responds, maybe the case over here is not with money, but rather, again, I will say it's putatos. Now, what are putatos? Rashi says over here, it's kind of about, about 15, 12 lines are from the bottom, but putatos. Maos shal nechoshes, shen adayin belo tzura ke'en asimon shal kesef. So these are copper, I will say it's copper slugs. Right, copper slugs. So it's coins, but that have not been minted. There's no image on them. So maybe we're talking about over here, like copper slugs. Now, both say, what's the status of a slug in general? Slug in general, it's metallic, it's movable property. So maybe we're talking about over here, when he says dinar, he's actually giving him a dinar. Rather, he's giving him an unminted coin, which has the status of metallic. And therefore, I both say, so if it's metallic, everyone agrees that what? Everyone agrees that what? That chalipin works. Remember again, I both say, the only machlokes over here is, does chalipin work for a coin? But everyone agrees that chalipin absolutely works for merchandise. Omishumachi, nigga bechalipin. Amarle in. He said, yeah, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. Dekanami diktani. The truth is, you can even read this into the case. Yafet dinar utrisin. Velo katani dinar yafer utrisin. So he'll say, it's interesting. So fascinating how word placement makes such a difference. He'll say, if the Gemara was talking about over here an actual dinar, it would have said dinar yafa, a valuable dinar. Yafet dinar means something that is as valuable as a dinar, but is not a dinar. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? Dinar yafa means a valuable dinar, an actual coin. Yafa dinar means something that is as valuable as a dinar, but is not a coin. It's incredible. See, Rabbi Moshe, we're talking about over here a case of metal and not even a case of money. Shema Amina. Ravashi says, Li'ola medamim. Obe prutatos. No, Ravashi says, no, let's go with Pasha Pshat. We're talking about money. The Shulchan, he gave me an actual dinar, and I'm giving him back a dinar and a tresis. Aye, but one second. But I will say, if you don't hold, that money can be used as chalipin. Why isn't this ribis? Watch this. The Gemara says, Kevan de Islay, since I have money in my house, Naase ke Omer, it's as if I said, Haleveini ad sheyavo b'niyo ad she'emsa mafteach. So I will say, okay, two things. We're going to get to this because we're going to get to Perek Ezu Neshach, which is very exciting. Well, everything and everything you ever want to know about ribis, about interest. We're going to see, I will say, that essentially, in order for a transaction to be considered interest, essentially you need two things. Well, you need more than two things, but two core things. Number one, it has to be a loan. Number two, there has to be what's called agar nata, which means there has to be a duration. There has to be a duration. In other words, I'll give you a simple example. If you give me $100 and I give you back immediately $120, that's not ribis. Now, again, that's a simplified idea. Why? Because we'll say part of the concept of ribis, of paying interest, is I don't have my money and I have to wait for you to give me back my money. That's called agar natar. I wait for the amount of time. We'll say in general, right? Why do people charge interest? Again, we'll say, what's the chab of interest? I'm like the only non-business guy over here. I know this. So again, the concept of interest is, if I'm giving you $1,000 and I'm lending it to you for a month, That is a month I don't have that money. I could have invested it. I could have done something with it. The concept of interest says, I'm willing to give you the money, but I don't want to lose out on the fact that I could have invested and made money from it. So the concept of getting interest is because I don't have my money for a certain amount of time. Therefore, I was saying, when there's payment and then additional payment made in return in it with immediacy, it's not interest. Now, what is it? We'll discuss. But I will say, so the Gemara, the way the Gemara phrases this is, for example, if I ask Reuven for money, and I say, Reuven, you know what, do me a favor, the money's in my house, I'm just waiting for my kid to bring it, or the money's in my safe, I have to find my key, which means the money is here, I pretty much have almost instantaneous access to it, that is no longer a ribbis case. Because the idea is Reuven's going to give me money, I'm going to give him back something immediately, that's not interest. And therefore, we'll say, even if it turns out that he gives me $100 and I give him back $120, it's not interest because of the immediacy of it. Now, I'm oversimplifying it for our purposes for today. We'll get into it more. But we'll say, so therefore, again, the Gemara is suggesting over here that since in this case I'm telling the Shulchani, I have the money in my house. Therefore, again, by definition, because there is no waiting period, therefore it's not interest. And therefore, if I end up paying him back more than what he lent me, ultimately, it's not an interest case. Fascinating. So Gemara goes as weiter. Tashma. So let's go weiter. Sefer Bo say, what we are left with over here, so far, it sounds like the consensus opinion is you cannot acquire money through chalipin. That seems to be the consensus approach over here. So far, Bo say, it sounds like, and again, we'll see this in greater depth in the Rambam tomorrow, coming to track, going to keep you coming back. So tomorrow, Mir Tzasha, Bo say, but it sounds like so far that money, right? Money cannot be used as the object to affect chalipin. That's one. And number two, money cannot be acquired through the mechanism of chalipin. Okay, let's go a little bit. That's what it sounds like so far. So Tashma, let's go back there. Kol ha'na'aseh damim ba'acher. So we'll say, so now, this is actually a Mishnah in Kiddushin. Rashi points out to Avir, three lines are from the bottom. Kol ha'na'aseh damim ba'acher, Mishnu b'kiddushin, v'kasach ha'dayet chadachi kamar, kol ha'rogil lios niton damim ba'acher, d'hanu matbea. So we'll say, the way we think to read this Mishnah is as follows. Anything that is tendered in payment for something else, which usually means what? Usually means what? Money, right? So kol ha'na'aseh damim ba'acher, kevan shezach ha'zeh, nischayiv zeh b'chalipin. So we'll say, so it sounds like anything that is given in payment for something else, once one party has acquired one object, the other party becomes obligated in the other object. So we'll say, what does this mean? Kol ha'na'aseh damim ba'acher mayniyu, mabea. Sounds like a coin. Ushmamino mabea na'asa chalipin. So we'll say, what this sounds like over here is, if I'm selling Reuven a watch, I'm selling him a watch for $500. So what it sounds like is, once Reuven takes possession of the watch, then ultimately, again, I acquire the money. Which sounds like what? Sounds like what? Chalipin. So it sounds like over here that chalipin does work for money. To which the Gemara says, "Surely not matbein as chalipin." Amar Rav Yehuda, no, halchi kamar. We'll say mem vav amud beis 46b. This is what it means. Kol anishum damim ba'acher. No. It means something totally different. Anything that is valuated, we'll see what this means in a moment. Kevan shezach hazeh nischayev zeh bechalipin. Once one party acquires one item, the other one becomes chayiv in the exchange. Okay, what is this talking about? Take a look at the top Rashi, Abosem and Vav Amad Beis, 46b. Here we go. Kolar sharegilim lashum oso, kishenosnin osam damim ba'acher, dahainu kolar metaltalin imba adam lesitim damim b'chefetz acher, darkon shuman b'kami yitnen alo. So Abosem, so now watch this. Literally translated, we're going to see the case is going to illustrate the concept. But anything on both sides that is given in a valued exchange for something else, once one party acquires one of the objects, the other party acquires the other object. I know you're thinking that makes absolutely no sense. Watch. Hakanai Mistabra. So I'm going to illustrate the case. Midiktani say, but look at the end of the Raisa. Here we go. Ketzad. Hechlev shar b'chamar, o chamar b'shar, shmamina. So we'll say now watch this. The Gemara says, what's the case? Any item that is given, right, in exchange for another. And I will say, now, bepashtos, when items are given in exchange for one another, so I will say, what is the exchange based on? Bepashtos, it's based on similar values. Right? That's what we're assuming. Right? So therefore again, hechlif shar bipara. So we'll say, so let's say again, I'm engaging in a transaction with Reuven. I have a shar, I have an ox, and he has a cow. And what, and we'll say, so the precious, what are we going to do? We're going to make an exchange. So we'll say, so remember again, obviously, you know, when we think about this, like, why is it getting so complicated? Just, I'll give him the shar, he'll give me the para. What's the big deal over here? So we'll say, so remember again, where do these kinds of situations come up? Let's say again, both animals are not here. So let's say again, I have the shar, but Reuven's para is in New Jersey. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? Because these items are being exchanged, therefore this is a kinyan chalipin. So therefore what happens? As soon as Reuven takes possession of the shar, they will say, what's the halacha? What's the halacha? I acquire the para wherever it is. That's kinyan chalipin. Shmamina. So we'll say, so therefore again, what do you see from here? We're not talking about money. We're not talking about money. Rather again, we're talking about chalipin. Ulamai disalik adaita me karama beya. So we'll say, so now listen to this. But the havamina is that we thought we were talking about money. So we'll say, here's the problem, right? I thought we were talking about money being acquired through chalipin. The problem is, how could that have ever been the havamina, given what? Given the illustration of the case, right? The illustration of the case mentioned by the Braisa was Ashar b'chamar. We exchanged an ox for a cow. So I don't say, if that's the way that the Braisa is illustrating the principle, why would you have ever thought that it's talking about money? So I'll say, now watch this. This is really fascinating. So according to the approach that we thought about before, that we're talking about a coin, that we're talking about exchanging money through chalipin. So my ketzan. So we'll say, so how does the illustration of the shar bechamar somehow support that assertion? Watch this. So we'll say, it's actually really interesting. Hachi kamar uperi nami avdi chalipin. So we'll say, you could also use peros, right? Peros merchandise or peros could actually also be acquired through chalipin. Okay, so what's the example of this? Hechlif shar bepara, o chamar b'shar. So we'll say ultimately again, for example, if you went ahead and you exchanged a shar by a para or a chamar b'shar, now we'll say, now what is this? So the Gemara says, Hani chal Rav Sheshes, da amar peri avdi chalipin. So this makes sense, according to Rav Sheshes, who holds that peros in general ultimately can be exchanged through chalipin. So we'll say, we're going to see this all more tomorrow. El Rav Nachman, da amar kli in. Aval peri lo avdi chalipin, my ketzad. So we'll say, we are going to see in tomorrow's daf that Rav Nachman is of the opinion that the only way to affect chalipin is through a kli. In other words, we'll say that what this means is the mechanism for chalipin, right? Because we'll say, when we come to chalipin, there's two aspects of the kinyan chalipin. What are the two aspects? There's number one, the item used to affect chalipin, right? Remember again, in order for a chalipin, kinyan chalipin to take place, what has to happen? What do you need? What do you need? What do you need? Something. In other words, I need an object. And somebody has to acquire something in order to trigger the reciprocal kinyan. There's a fundamental machlokus as to what is that item? What is that item? So again, I will say, and that's, remember, is it a coin? Rav Nachman holds, is interesting, it has to be a kli. Again, I know, I keep saying it, tomorrow. Just hold on. Keep it together till 5:50 tomorrow morning and life is going to make sense. Right? The entire universe is going to be in equilibrium with Baba Metzia Daf Mem Zayin. Rabbi Akiva holds, it has to be a kli, it has to be a utensil. Now, again, I will say, that's discussion number one. Then after that, there's a secondary discussion, which is, what type of items could be acquired through chalipin? You hear the distinction? There's what type of item could affect chalipin, and then after that, there's what types of items could be acquired through chalipin. So listen to this. So Rav Nachman is of the opinion that halacha l'maaseh you need a kli. Now, both say, now, if you need a kli, d'amar kli in, aval peri lo avdi chalipin, my ketzet. So I just want to point out something incredible. We just read this case of the shar and the para, right? According to Rav Nachman, that case doesn't work. Otherwise, well, let's just go through this. Right? I'm standing with Reuven. Reuven, I have an ox, you have a cow. You want an ox, I want the cow. Fantastic. I'm going to give you my ox. You go ahead, do mashiach on my ox. Kinyan Sudr, Kinyan Chalipin. I'll acquire your cow. Koin Rav Nachman, that does not work. Why? Because Koin Rav Nachman, you need a kli, you need a utensil in order to affect Kinyan Chalipin. Well, an ox is not a utensil. A cow is not the utensil. So according to Rav Nachman, how is this case even working? So watch this, Rav Osei. My case, Arachi Kamar, Yesh Damim Shehen Kechalipin. There are sometimes value that is like chalipin. What does this mean? So that is money that's like chalipin. What does this mean? Keitzad, hichlif deme shar bepara, o deme chamar bishar. So we'll say, now listen to this. What, for example, what? Let's say you exchanged the value of the para for the shar, or the value of the shar for the para. Now, what does this mean? We'll say, take a look at Rashi. This is actually a really interesting case. Rashi is, like right in the middle of the short lines. Keitzad hichlif deme shar bepara. Watch this. Macha lo shar, vekach vekach mos, umashach has shar. Okay, so we'll say, we're switching gears for just a moment. I sell Ruvain a shar. Okay? It's a shar, an ox, $1,000. It's just a regular sale case. I sell Ruvain an ox. Okay? Now we'll say, now remember again, how do you acquire an ox? Meshicha. Right? So what does Ruvain do? Ruvain takes the ox, he pulls it towards him. Shalom Yisrael. Fantastic. Now, obviously, when Reuven does Meshicha, what happens in that moment? Now, obviously, Reuven's obligated to me $1,000, value of the ox, right? So Reuven takes possession of the ox, he does Meshicha, he pulls it towards him. Now, he owes me $1,000. Okay, fine. Amar ve'alokeach. So now, Reuven comes along, and he says to me like this. He says, Silver, listen. Pari yeshli, shani nosin l'cha b'dimei ashar. Happens to be, I have a cow. I have a cow that's worth $1,000. Would you like my cow as payment for your ox? And I say, v'rei oso yachad, v'kibel alav. And I will say, sure. Yeah, that was not intentional. Right? I say yes. Right? I'm happy to accept. In other words, I'm happy to accept that par. First of all, more embarrassing than I said is that you laughed at it, right? I say yes, and then ultimately, I guess, so now, Reuven's going to give me his cow as, again, I want to point out, as payment for the ox. He owes me $1,000. Instead of $1,000, he's giving me a cow worth $1,000. Now watch this. Rashi goes on, Now, at that point, once we have agreed on this, neither of us can renege. Which essentially means, I've acquired the para. Now watch this. V'achi kamar, kalanishum dame ba'acher, kalamitantlin sha'adam sham lechavero, v'nosin lo shumas demein, bishvil chefetz acher, sha'ayu lo lelokeach, kevan shezach lo lokeach, rishum emitantlin, Harishon Shemashkan. So we'll say, so now what is the Brayza? This is incredible. So we'll say, so therefore it turns out that when Reuven acquired the shar, I essentially acquired the cow. Now what's happening over here is Reuven acquired the shar through a sale. Now what happens? Now halacha lemaisa, I am going to acquire the cow as payment for the ox. So what the Brayza is teaching me is Reuven's kinyan on the shar essentially acquires for me the cow that was valued at the amount that Reuven owes me for the purchase of the ox. Okay, so let's finish Rashi. And therefore, at this point, Rabbi Osai, once we agree on this, neither of us have the ability to renege. Vein echad mehem yachal ox. So Rashi kamar, this is what it means to say, kol anishum damim ba'acher. Anything that is literally valued against something else, which means, all movable property that a person valuates as payment for an existing debt, as soon as Reuven acquires the ox, so I said, this is an interesting case. So therefore, it turns out that even though Reuven acquired the ox, right, before, now I said, remember, at the moment that Reuven acquired the ox, was there any talk about a cow? No talk about a cow. But now that Reuven owes me $1,000, now Reuven suggests, let me give you my cow, which is worth $1,000 in lieu of actual cash payment. And I say yes. Then I say, it turns out that what? Ex post facto, the kinyan that Reuven did on the ox ultimately, again, acquired for me that cow. That's the case. Interesting. My time is Rav Nachman. So we'll say, what's Rav Nachman's logic? Savar, Krab Yochanan. He also Krab Yochanan. So we'll say, now remember again, now the Gemara says as follows. Now, So Rav Nachman holds Rabosai that halacha lemaisa this type of keening will work. Now, why does Rav Nachman hold? Rabosai, this gemara that we're about to do is central and core to so much of what we're going to accomplish. Rabosai, if you remember again, we started this Mishnah with the idea that money does not acquire, right? Which Rabosai, it is so counterintuitive to us, right? In other words, here, I'm purchasing something. Right? I go over to her, I give him the money. So we've now established, I will say, that halacha lemaisa, money doesn't acquire, right? When do you acquire the object? Either when you take physical possession or some other type of kinyan. But tendering of money by itself does not acquire the object, which sounds so strange. Now, here we go, I will say. The Gemara says, "Savrala." So, my time is what's Rav Nachman's logic? So, look at Rabbi Yochanan Damar, "Dvar Torah, Mahos Konos." It's not true. Midaraisa, money acquires. Now, where do we know that from? You know the answer to this. Where are we going to see this? Daf Mem Zayin tomorrow, right? I'll say everything. And any other outstanding questions you have in life. What's the purpose of life? Why do bad things happen to good people? All of that is going to be Daf Mem Zayin, I'll say. Right? It's everything. So I'll say, so now, what do you mean, Dvar Torah Malos Konos? How do I know that? But okay, right now we're just thinking of this fact. Dvar Torah Malos Konos. Midoraisa. We'll say, you acquire an object with money. So if that's true, that Midoraisa, when you tender payment for something, you are the rightful owner. Yet Chazal stepped in and Chazal said, no, you don't acquire an object until you actually do Mashiach. Why? Here we go. Chazal were concerned about a case where, let's say, your friend says to you, oh, I'm so sorry, your produce burned down in the silo. Okay, a little bit of context. I go over to Reuven. I buy from Reuven $1,000 worth of wheat. I give him the money. The Shabbos says, so now, if we go with the Doraisa, and the Doraisa says that ultimately, again, when you give money, so now the object becomes yours. If we go with that, here's the concern. That means now, I own the produce, my produce is sitting in Reuven's silo. Okay, so it's mine because I gave him money. Let's say Chas Hashem, a fire breaks out of Reuven's silo, and Reuven suffers a loss of $1,000 of wheat. Right? What is Reuven going to say? What is he going to say? Oh, so sorry for your loss. Yeah, that was your $1,000 of wheat. So Chazal were concerned about that if I essentially, if I am the titular owner, right, but the actual, my property is in Reuven's possession, then it's going just to set up the situation where any loss that Reuven suffers is going to be attributed to my produce. So Chazal said, you know what we're going to do? We're saying differently. Even though I paid Reuven the money, it's not mine until I get physical possession. Which means I will say, now what does that do? That shifts responsibility of the entirety of the produce to Reuven until delivery to me. That's what it does. And it's essentially what it does is, it's buyer protection. It's buyer protection. Incredible. So when did Chazal, so the Gemara says like this, Milsa de Shricha Gazir Be'Rabbanon. Chazal only enacted this in a common case. Milsa de lo Shricha, but ultimately, what's in an uncommon case? Now, what's an example of an uncommon case? An uncommon case, I will say, is the case we just said before, where ultimately, again, I'm selling, right, my ox to Reuven. Reuven owes me $1,000. And now what happens? Now Reuven says to me, you know what happened to have a cow? That's worth $1,000. Why don't I give that to you? So I will say, so that's an uncommon type of case. And in that case, ultimately, again, I could acquire the movable property, even though, again, it's not coming to my possession. Okay. And according to Reish Lakish, who holds that no, it's not true. Midaraisa, money does not acquire. Midaraisa, the only thing that acquires is what? The only thing that acquires is Mashicha. So Hanicha is Savala Karav Sheshes, Mintaraisa Karav Sheshes. If you don't take Karav Sheshes, I'll interpret the case of Karav Sheshes. Ela is Savala Karav Nachman, and the Amar Peri lo Avdi Chalipin. But if Yosef Rav Nachman who holds that Allah Lamaisa, in general, you cannot affect Chalipin with Peros, and Matbea Lokani, what should you do? You'll have to say ultimately again that he interprets it like Rav Sheshes. Okay, let's go back to Tanan. Kol Metalklin, Konin, and Zeze. So we'll say all Metalklin have the ability to acquire one another. Okay? Afilu kis male mos. So Rav says, so ultimately, again, this applies to even what? This applies even to a bag full of money. A bag full of money. So Rav says, so now watch this. Rakhi Rashi, just a moment. Kisim Alei Mos. It's six lines up from the bottom. V'al karachach, the chalipin kamar, tibetoras damim ma'os lo kanush, ma'vinam ma'pena se chalipin, v'nikne be'chalipin. So we'll say, so now remember again, bipashtos, we're assuming over here that this Mishnah kalmatatlin konin zedzeh, we assume this is by ma'chalipin. Right? You and I, we want to exchange metalkalin. So I give you metalkalin, you acquire it. I automatically acquire flip active acquisition. I automatically acquire the other piece of metalkalin. Now, I will say that the Gemara says, or the Mishnah says, even with a kis malei mos, even with a bag full of money. So what do I interpret that to mean? That money could be acquired through metalkalin. To which the Gemara says, vafilu kis malei mos. To which the Gemara says, no, vafilu, I'm sorry, bikis Malei Mos. So the Gemara says, ultimately, again, Vafilu bekis Malei Mos, bekis Malei Mos. So the Gemara Ravacha bedinar anka va'anigra. So the Gemara says, what does this mean? We're talking about a different kind of coinage. What type of coins are we talking about? A dinar anka and a nigra. What does this mean? Echad shepaslasal malchus, ve'echad shepasalto medina. So we'll say we're talking about coins that essentially were invalidated. One coin was invalidated by the monarchy, and the other coin was invalidated by the country. Now what's the chap when what is the status of currency when essentially becomes invalidated for use? What's its status? Metalkalin. Because also remember again, so currency of the Gemara, remember we'll say their currency was actually made of precious metals. So therefore again, same way that an unminted coin essentially has the status of metalkalin, so even a minted coin, but a minted coin that no longer is valid for use, halacha lemaisa, has the status of metalkalin. So the Gemara says that's what we're talking about over here. When we speak about that again, that halacha lemaisa, you could acquire a bag of money with chalipin, that's a bag of coins that's either been invalidated by use by the king or been invalidated by the use by the country. I've asked the Gemara, so we'll say, so now I don't understand, why do you need both? Invalidated by the monarchy or invalidated by the country? In other words, you told me, I got it. Invalidated currency, whether it's by the monarchy or whether it's by the country, is going to have the status of metalkalin. The Gemara says, no, you need both. I'll tell you why. It's tzricha. We'll say, finish up with tzricha. Diashmo inan pasalto malchus. Because if you would have only taught me about currency that was invalidated by the monarchy, mishum de lo sagi klal. So we'll say the problem is, once currency has been invalidated by the monarchy, then what? You really can't use it anywhere. Right? Anywhere, because the entire monarchy doesn't use it. Ava pasalto medina, de sagili be medina achrisi, im akati makbeyahu. But I will say, but currency that's only been invalidated where? In this country, right? Or in this province, it's still what? Potentially usable somewhere else. Therefore, maybe it still has the status of money. So the Gemara says, and if you were to just point out the case of where the particular country or province invalidated it, so we'll say it's interesting. When a particular currency is no longer usable in a particular area, a particular country, you can't use it on the regular market or on the black market. Ava pasalto malchus, this sagile bitsina. It's interesting. Apparently, currency that has been invalidated by the monarchy, you can't use it in regular commerce, but apparently, there was still a black market for it. Ema akati matbeahu. I would have thought that it still has the status, ultimately, again, of a coin. Ve'in mapea nase nikne bechalipin, and therefore a coin you can't be used bechalipin, therefore sricha. So if Rabbi Osai, again, I needed both cases to teach you that halacha lamaisa, both a coin invalidated by the monarchy, as well as a coin invalidated by the province, is no longer considered to be currency, but rather is considered to be metalkalin. Shabbos say, okay, what are our takeaways over here? Shabbos say, so first of all, just a couple of smaller ones. Number one, we're getting already like a little bit of an appetizer for ribbis, which is very, everyone loves appetizers, right? Because what do they do? You know, they whet your appetite a little bit. You're excited for what's to come. So now again, we got a little ribbis appetizer over here. What's my ribbis appetizer? So first thing I'm going to say, number one, interest only applies in a loan. That's number one. So interest will never apply in chalipin. So I suggest even again, where, I mean, all these things tie together. Because if you hold that money could be, you could affect the exchange of money by Khalifin. If I were to give you $100, you were to give me back $120, technically that would not be ribis. Right? So ribis is only by a loan. And number two, ribis is only by a loan that what? Has a duration, a waiting period. So even for example, let's say if you were to take an extreme case of, I say, loan me $100 and I'm going to give you right back $150. We're both say, is that ribis? As far as we're concerned right now, the answer to that is no. And also you'll say to yourself, why would someone ever do something like that? It's very simple. There's a mitzvah d'oraisa to pay back your debts. I'm coming up a little short on the mitzvah counter today. Say, you know what? I want to give you a gift anyway. So give me $100, I'll give you back $150. Technically speaking, that's not ribis. So ribis requires, ultimately, again, a loan and a duration. Fine. I will say the two outstanding issues that we've been dealing with over the last 2 days are still the two outstanding issues. Number one, I will say, is can you affect Khalipin using a coin as the vehicle for the Kenyan? So again, instead of my pen, right, I want to go ahead and acquire something from you. So again, normally, again, I'm going to acquire your chametz from you in just a few moments. I'm going to give you my pen. You lift up my pen. You acquire something of mine. I acquire something of yours. Your chametz, perfect. Can I use a coin for that? Can I use a coin to affect chalipin? So I will say, the parashtos, it sounds like from the Gemara that the answer to that is no. We'll see the Rambam tomorrow, Amir Tzashem. Question number two is, okay, even if I accept the fact that a coin cannot be used as the vehicle for chalipin, but can you acquire money through chalipin? So in other words, I will say, I want to go ahead and acquire, you want to give me $100. So can I go ahead and acquire money through somebody? I'm going to give you my pen. So right now you lift it up. Can I acquire money through chalipin? So I will say once again, that also sounds like no, but Emir Hashem, resolution tomorrow. One last thing. Good. So all right, can you use money as a vehicle? Can you acquire chalipin? I will say, Emir Hashem, all of this to be resolved tomorrow. I will say, I know that it seems very frustrating that I'm pushing everything to daf mem zayin. I will say, but again, sometimes it's a good muster in life also. The answers to all of life's questions come. Just sometimes you have to be patient to get them. So sometimes it's as easy as tomorrow morning. Other times it's waiting until after 120 when we're in Shamayim and we can ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu whatever we want. The answers always come. We just have to be patient until we get them. We're going to be doing, anyone who's here from Mechiras Chametz, we're just going to be relocating into the base Medrash Shemir Tzashem, just to clear out for the 9 o'clock meeting. Shkoyach, everyone.